Hello, welcome to Holden Village. Today is Thursday, June 28th, 2001. In the Creekside Room this evening is Al Rail. Today's session number is ROA 2001-3, and it's titled A Spiritual Practice, The Examine. Let's listen in.
Know that for the tape, starting. This is the Examine. Spiritual Practice, Al Rail is here, and Spiritual Director of the Village. I'm the first one ever. Diane invited me when our family were up here for right after Christmas, and I worked in the kitchen then, and my wife Lori worked as the nurse for about 8 days, and we spent New Year's Eve here. And we walked the labyrinth. Has anybody gone out to the ballpark and walked it?
No.
Well, in the wintertime, they shovel it, and we had candles, and we went around there right before midnight, and it was just such a great experience. And it kind of even leads into the session today, because we received a candle, and we were to walk the labyrinth and to reflect on our year, what have been the blessings and what have been the difficult parts of the year. And as we walked and other people walked, you know, the whole maze was lit up. It was just incredible. And they placed luminaries so that you could walk out there and follow each luminary is a bag with a candle in it, to find the labyrinth. It was just wonderful. Here's my plan for this session. I would like to start with a prayer and a song that probably many of you are familiar with, because the song really says what the examen is all about. And then I'm going to tell a couple stories. And after the couple stories, we're going to do a short examen. I'm going to have you share with another person next to you a little bit of what came up in that examen. And then we'll go through some of the ways to use it. We'll maybe have a little bit of sharing in the big group. And we'll kind of brainstorm together on ways that this could be used in lots of different ways up there. And then at near the end, we'll go through a longer examen. An examen that comes from Ignatius of Loyola, from the exercises that he has. And if I could have somebody read that while I play music behind it, I think that would be a little more effective. So if there's anybody who's willing, you kind of think when I get to that point. And then we'll go a little bit deeper. The examen is basically two questions that one asks after every day, or after every hour, or after every session, or it could be after a movie, or it could be over the year. One is, what during this day or this time period was most gratifying? What am I most grateful for in this time? Second question is, what am I least grateful for? Those particular questions can be changed, though. They can be questions like, when did I receive the most love today? Or when did I feel like I just couldn't love people, or in love with her? Or when did I get the most life energy? It was like, for me, sitting on the porch and playing my guitar and watching people go by and, you know, saying, yeah, that sounds pretty good. You know, that was gratifying. Supper time, getting tired and hungry and kind of dragged out and saying, oh, I've got to do a session tonight with the baseball thing on the other side, which I really want to go to because I'm married. I'm getting, you know, kind of crabby, as Dan Erlander would say a couple weeks ago. So those two questions. Another couple questions would be, since I'm a pessimist, when did I hear some hope in my day? You know, when was there something real positive? You know, That would be the most grateful part. And then when was my pessimism kind of emphasized? You know, where was that reinforced? So you've got lots of options in this exam. But those basic two questions, near the end of the session, what we'll do is we'll go through a longer review of the day and see how that is for you. Because that is what spiritual direction is all about, to notice those movements in one's life, emotions, feelings, senses, hunches, intuitive kind of stuff that we all have, and all a little bit different because we're made a little bit different. I'm going on and on here. I was in Mark Swain's session about working. Anybody in that session yesterday? He talked about a Christian calling. Can you be a Christian carpenter, a Christian baker? And what about the call that we have? Well, I concluded at the end of the session that, first of all, we got to understand that we do have a call in the first place, and that's so hard. That is even hard. And then when we move into whatever it is our vocation is, we're not the perfect person. In other words, we don't automatically become the best baker, but it's a process. It's a process that we live into. And by the grace of God, if God's going to forgive us, God has also got the power to make us the best possible person in whatever vocation we really feel drawn into. So it was, for me, we were really trying to batter around what is a Christian occupation. But for me, and for the examen is to look at one's day for a period of time, maybe a month or so, and find out, what are those things that give me energy? What are those things am I most grateful for? Those are probably telling you, through God's message of the examen, this is a direction for your life, or this is your sealed orders. This is what you're meant to be. So, with that, I'm going to sing a song. One of my best friends is a psychologist who said that when he's dealing with people who needs to get into the unconscious, you don't do that by talking at people. You do that by music, especially. You do that by humor. It reaches down into the unconscious, and it brings wholeness. So the song that some of you may know is Take Me As I Am. Summon out what I shall be. Set a seal upon my heart and live in me. That is really very close to what the examen is all about. And in singing the song, you're praying for that to happen. And after the two stories, we'll have an experience of that, and you can share that. I'll sing it once, and those of you who are Holden and know it, sing along with me, and then we'll sing it twice. But when you sing it, we'll sing it three times, because singing is a prayer. And sometimes singing, if it's got too many words or too many phrases, it stops being a prayer. It's more of a statement. So pray it.
Take me as I am. As I am,
because some of you weren't singing, and that's great, because oftentimes when we just hear voices sing, we are also praying, and that's wonderful. Two stories. Sleeping with Bread is a book that I think that Jeshua got more copies in today. It's called Sleeping with Bread, and it's about the examen, and it's got wonderful pictures. It's got three authors to it. Dennis Lynn, Sheila Fabricat Lynn, and Matthew Lynn. And very simply lays out what the examen is. The starting story is that there were, during the war, there was a lot of orphans because of the fighting. And they were left on the streets. They were starving, and something had to be done. So they were taken into orphanages, and what they found about the children is that they were very, very afraid. They were hungry, and they didn't trust anybody. And they put them to bed at night, and they would cry all night, and they wouldn't sleep. And one of the people in the orphanage got the idea that, I wonder, we do feed them here, they're just not getting it. Why can't they sleep? They're safe, we've given them all this. And then they said, if we give them a piece of bread to sleep with, they will know that when they wake up, they will have bread. And that's what they did. And that's what the picture is, a little child sleeping with a loaf of bread. And in the examen, the interesting thing about it, if you do it in the evening or right before you go to sleep, you end with what's most grateful. You probably wake up grateful, with a feeling of being grateful. You know, if you don't do that, do something special like that, then you're going to wake up. I woke up this morning with a dream about fish. I love to fish, and this was really something, because I dreamt of being underwater, seeing the fish, and also rowing in the lake, which is impossible, of course. And then when somebody was asking, we were on lily pads, and I asked the question, you know, under the lily pads, are there still fish under the lily pads? I remember asking that question in the dream. And somebody said, sure. This crazy dream I had, you know, it was kind of a, just a, I don't know what it means yet, but it was a very funny, reassuring dream because of that. The second story comes from the same book. These people were on the Indian reservation in Rosebud, North Dakota, and Dennis, one of the people there, wanted to invite eight of the students that he was teaching that were Sioux Indian over for dinner one night. And Dennis didn't know anything about cooking, and he knew that he wanted to invite them over for soup. He wanted to have enough soup, and they'd eaten a lot of soup there. So he boiled up some soup bones, and he dumped a cup of rice in. And thinking that, you know, he's never cooked before, he thought, well, that doesn't do it. I need some more rice. So he dumped three more boxes in. And Indians, or the Sioux people, being very generous, he went around and he says, that's still not going to make it. I've got to go around and get some more. So that every house that he knocked on, they would give him a box of rice. So he dumped everything in so that it was just overflowing. And then he went off to teach the class, to let it simmer. He came back to the house. There was rice coming out the door. And he had some of the Sioux help him shovel the rice back. And he decided he would invite everybody he could to dinner that night, after they got the rice all picked up and put in bowls or pots or whatever. And when they got there, he was, you know, he had the evening all planned of what he was going to do with the 8 students. Now he had not only 8 students, but he had children, he had old folks, he had the whole range of the village there. And the only thing that he wanted to do was to just find out about them. So he asked the 2 questions of all the people there, and they told stories the rest of the evening, and it was a wonderful, wonderful evening together. And how that ties into the story was that, you know, he was least grateful for is a big mistake, and the ignorance turned out to be the greatest blessing and a start for this whole idea of writing a book and putting out the examen for people. So, with that, I'm going to have you reflect on your day. Everybody here has had a day at Holden, and you've gone different places, and I'm going to give you a few minutes to reflect on that day. Where was it that you experienced something that made you grateful? I'll give you some other ideas from the book here of questions that you could use. You don't have to be grateful or use grateful. When did I feel most alive today? That's another question. And when did I feel life draining out of me? That's a great one. Second one, when did I give and receive the most love today? When did I give and receive the least love today? Third one, when today did I have the greatest sense of belonging to myself, others, God, and the universe? When did I have the least sense of belonging? And then, when was I happiest today? When was I sad, most sad? Or just simply, what was today's high point? What was today's low point? And in the book here is the process. Preparation. Here it is. You may wish to light a candle. You can't do that at Holden, but you could do it at home. Do whatever helps you to experience unconditional love. For example, imagine yourself in a favorite place with someone whose love you trust, such as a friend, Jesus, or God, as you understand God. Put your feet flat on the floor. Take a few deep breaths from the bottom of your toes up through your legs, your abdominal muscles in your chest. Breathe in unconditional love, and when you breathe out, fill the space around you with it. We'll have a lot of that in the middle. Place your hand on your heart and ask Jesus or God, as you understand God, to bring to your heart the moment today for which you are most grateful. If you could relive one moment, which one would it be? When were you most able to give and receive love today? Ask yourself, what was said and done in that moment that made it so special? Breathe in the gratitude you felt and receive life again from that moment. Now ask God to bring to your heart the moment today for which you are least grateful. When were you least able to give and receive love? Ask yourself what was said and done in that moment that made it so difficult. be with whatever you feel without trying to change or fix it in any way. You may wish to take deep breaths and let God's love fill you just as you are. Give thanks for whatever you have experienced. If possible, share as much as you wish of these two moments with a friend. So do that. Somebody next to you.
Thank you. Breakfast and was probably going to be late for his job. And this is a great experiment to have him on his own. not living with us up here in Spokane. It's kind of like, oh no, I failed, he failed, it's going to be the end of the world. But the good news at the end of the story is his supervisor assured me that he would not be the first one that she got to pull out of bed. And she was being very grateful to do that for me.
I remember when I was here at Christmas time, I was supposed to be there at 6 o'clock in the morning, too, in the kitchen, and I walked in at 8 o'clock, and people were so gracious, but I just completely blew it. So.
But the sinking feeling that somehow that I had failed and he had failed, and, but then, like I said, to come back with the gratitude that other people were still wanting to support him here and hold him responsible, which is what needs to happen.
Sure. Any other? A couple more? Either one?
I think for me, it happens to be people. I'm up here with my godchild and her parents, and she was born in Texas and left.
Can't hear you.
Oh, up here with my godchild and her parents, and she was born in Texas and left about a year ago, and we were very, very close in arm, even then. And she she's very verbal and very able to express feelings, real good with that. She got me in the face and she said, God, I miss you so very much. And I felt totally loved.
She's how old?
3 and a half.
Well, it looked like there was lots of conversation. I'm sure that you received a lot just by sharing. That's it. You could leave now and go to baseball. These are the exercises of Ignatius Loyola, and this is not a session on that, but the reason he came to write this book and be the person that he is and or was is because of the examen. He was, up until the age 26, one who wanted to go out and be the best soldier he could be. He wanted to have the most women falling over him as he could have. He wanted good wine. He wanted to have respect from the people in high places. And he was passionate about all those things. But he got into a battle with the French, and the French overtook the castle that he was fighting to defend, and they shot a cannonball through his leg, and he was laid up in the hospital. And you know, when you're in the hospital, you have to figure out what you're going to do, anticipate when you're going to get out. And there were only two books in the hospital, and some of you have heard this story, bear with me. One was The Life of the Saints and The Life of Christ, and one was a story of knights of chivalry. And he found that when he read the book about knights of chivalry, he was so excited, because when he got out of the hospital, and he would go out and win more battles, win more respect of the ladies, and become even much greater a man. Well, this would last for a little while, and then after the third day, he felt totally depressed and dry. It was like, you know, he was excited for a while, but it just went, he just took him like that down. And when he read stories of the saints and of Jesus, Life of Christ, he was very excited. He said, wow, you know, I want to be like St. Francis. I want to go out there and do those kinds of things. And I want to be a monk. And it didn't leave him. He would just continue to be excited and energized by it, that it wouldn't go away. This urge, this passion to go out and do those kinds of things. So he ended up going barefoot to Jerusalem on a pilgrimage, giving away his clothes to a beggar and everything else. And that was his examen when he was in hospitalized with this cannonball. And it was the first thing that he put in the exercises, that he believed, as Kristen Wiig was saying this morning, it hasn't always been true of her, but the Bible is the most exciting book to her, you know? I mean, that she really gets energy from it. It's really important for her. And same with Ignatius. So whatever is going to draw you and excite you that God's going to place in your life is very important. And many of us don't know what that is. We really don't. And so we go through a process of a month, and we find out whether there's more little people that pat our faces and say that we're loved, you know. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's a calling to be just who we are. And it may not be something we're paid for. That's the old thing. We may be the best listener, you know. I get, yeah, every time that somebody comes up to see me as individual spiritual direction, I'm hopping out of that agape on cloud nine. There's something about hearing a person's story that just, you know, it energizes me, and I feel that there's something, there's a calling there. So there must be something to it. If I felt totally drained and, you know, oh, not another person, oh, no, oh, I don't want to hear it, you know, or if my mind, you know, if I'd be sitting there listening to somebody and then I would be drifting off, you know, my mind would be 100 miles away, I would say, boy, I don't know if this is really for me. So, and this is another true story. The least grateful, I'm still struggling with this. I work with a pastor. I'm an associate of ministry in a church, and he told me that the other day, that this was about maybe a month ago, that there have been some complaints about my sermons. I've been preaching for about 4 years. I only preach about every 3 months, which isn't a lot, and it takes me forever to do a sermon because I just can't, you know, to put things together. Even to put this up here is, you know, hard to be organized. But he said, you know, I've been wanting to tell you this a long time, but we've got a lot of other pastors in the church, and he says, I'm going to rescind my offer for you to preach. Mm-hmm. And it was like, ah, you know, I mean, it was like, but I have to sit with that, and I'm still sitting with that as far as saying, you know, well, am I called to preach, or am I called to do this ministry here, you know? Mm-hmm. And I have to really say that I'm an artist, and my mind goes all over the place. I try to tie things together, and oftentimes people can't figure it out. but it hurt, you know, and it was a least grateful part of my day. And I'm waiting for people, maybe they won't ever ask me, why don't you preach anymore? But I'll say, and I think after that week, the most grateful thing was it was a busy week. It took me 10, 12 hours to do a sermon. I would do 8 drafts, you know. I mean, it was not something that came easily. And so I'll have to see. But the first night I was here at Holden and doing a presentation, it all came back. It was like a big cloud, big black cloud coming over me, you know. And I just didn't feel connected to the people. Tonight I do. I'm thankful I do. But some of those things are real devastating to sensitive people like myself. So and I still feel that the Holy Spirit works despite of what kind of speaker you are and what you use, that, you know. So in some ways, I overrule, but I also hear the point. You know, there was some gratefulness in that, but also some truth to it. So, where are we here? We're at why. I'll ask you, why do we do this thing that we did tonight? What do you think is the purpose for doing an examen?
Keep track of where you are on the path.
Okay. What else?
We might say that certain things are important to us, but where are we really spending our time? Mm-hmm.
Where do we want to spend our time? Where do we want to put our energy? Yeah. Yeah.
It becomes real habit forming to just let one day go by after a day goes by, and they just add up, and we don't look back.
One thing after another, yeah.
Well, like, I have a friend who one day told me, he wants to be like an organic farmer, and one day he told me, well, you wake up and it's 20 years later and you're still working in the library. Holy cow, it's exactly like that. And it's true, I mean, he's been working in this library for 20 years, and he's got this job that he doesn't even, it pays his bills and everything, and it's not hard, but it's not, I don't know, it's especially fulfilling for him, but it's exactly that. It's like, you don't want to let 20 years just be gone. Right. Just be gone.
Right. Life is precious, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It stops us. It gives us a point in our day. Yeah. To reflect. And also, we are asked to do the will of God. What is that for us, individually, and then how does it affect the community that we are in? When we leave Holden, for example, after we've been here for a while, we go out into the world, and we don't have that support. But we always have the support of God. God goes with us. Love supports us. We say that Holden prayer over and over and over again. Do we believe it? Sometimes not. We don't. So the exam brings us back and shows us. The community does too. The community gives us feedback of what we are to be about. I don't know who it was. I think it was also Kristen Lee was saying that she didn't have to love every person. That there was another person that could love that person. That was very powerful. Sealed orders. We're placed on this earth to do something, to be a certain type of person. What are we to be about? And who are we called to? The examen can help that, right? Can give us some idea of what gives us life and makes us excited. My spiritual director that I go to always, she labels it, where is God getting in there? Where is God getting in? And I like that. Because where God gets in, you'll find energy. You'll find that you're able to give love. You'll find that you feel forgiven. You feel free. Things flow from you. But that doesn't happen on a constant basis. Life is just, it's in and out. Sharing with another. Yeah.
Are you suggesting that we move toward things that give us energy? Move toward those?
The things that give you energy. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And there's mundane tasks in our day that may not give us energy, but the kinds of things that really give us energy, if you look at them, are probably some of the gifts that we have that as we use them, also Daniel, we was talking about, when a gift shared is a door, opens a door for another person. I like that. Opens a door. If you think you're opening a door for another person by what you're doing, you're going to get energy from it. I sang down in the lift the other night. A lot of people just said, thanks for the music. Opened a door. Something happened in them. And for me, it was just easy to do and fun to do, and I enjoyed it. That's part of my calling here, too.
When I give matins in the morning, I just love to do that. And every time I do, I always get... Somebody always stops me and say, oh, I just appreciated so much what you said,
Well, you read the scripture. Everybody, anybody hear her read the scripture? That long story of John the Baptist? That was wonderful.
So I like to do things like that.
Yeah. Special gifts.
And funny part of it is, I've never prepared when I do matins. I wake up in the morning and I say, Lord, I don't know why I always sign up for matins. I said, you're going to have to give me something, you know, and something will just click in my mind and I'll just get up there.
Trust. Did you notice the trust in those words?
Wayne and I were talking earlier about discernment, and I think an interesting point here too is that when you do the exam and you're doing it after the action has taken place, because sometimes our feelings before we do something aren't necessarily the ones that we can trust. So if we have fear about doing something, we need to test that out, I guess, and do the action, or do the behavior, or do the whatever it is, that task that we're going to be doing, and then examine afterwards if that gave us life during and after,
right,
rather than just stopping at, oh, why did I sign up to do matins and then not do it?
Yeah.
And there, yeah, of course, there's a discernment, you know, whether the fear is trying to caution you or prevent you as a protection type of thing from really getting into something that you shouldn't. But most of the time, I think we need to look. That's the beauty of the exam, is that it's after you've done things, so you have a different sense of perspective about it.
Right, right. And, you know, if it's something you're not supposed to be about, Anthony DeMello had this saying that nobody can, he believed that nobody could sin if they were really aware of it, that they were sinning. That was a statement. I mean, really aware. As Luther said, sin boldly.
That's the way I do chocolate.
Sharing with family. Our children went to sleep with, what is your favorite part of the day? What is your least favorite part of the day? For quite a while. Now we don't do that anymore. And I think we need to get back to do that. But it offers a this type of reflection offers a lot of opportunities for families, because what a child's greatest part of the day is could be going to, I don't know. I mean, it's very completely different than what you would think. And then you see the different stages of faith here. You know, what gives people life is different for a younger person. And you really have people involved in the process of doing that. And you find out also what your kids like. You know, what gives them life, and you can affirm them. And again, it challenges me to go back and do that. Examine alone, if you're a single person, what are the things that you need to do? How could this be a meaningful thing? By imagining probably a friend, if you were alone, imagining a place in nature, or when I was first learning to pray as a Lutheran, never knowing that there was a different kind of way of praying than just a petition up there, or Lord's Prayer, or something like that, I realized that I first had to center myself. So I would take the 23rd Psalm and I would say it very slowly. The Lord is my shepherd. And I would just go through this whole Psalm really slow. And then I would transport my body up to Cloudy Pass, overlooking Lyman Lake. And I would sit there on a rock, and Jesus was down low on the lower rock, and we would talk. That was my way of getting into a state where I could really pray. I don't do that anymore, but at the time, that was my method. So being alone sometimes, that if you wanted to do this, you need some kind of image that would be helpful to you. Many times and places.
I do something similar like that. I come to this hedge, and I can open this door, and I go in there, and it's just a beautiful place. Mountains, and there's sheep running around, and then there's
somebody's sitting up there, and it's Jesus sitting up there. So then I'll sometimes, it's so hard to get up on that hill to him, and I'll get up there and I'll just, oh, I don't know, I'm just, today hasn't been right, I just had such a hard time getting up the hill to sit with you, you know. And then sometimes I just run right up there, you know? And then sometimes I just think, oh, can I just sit here by you and lay my head on your shoulder? And you can, you know, and I don't see anybody, but I can feel it.
How about places and times and places? We could do the examine over this session here. I mean, you could just say, okay, what was in that session? What was the most grateful thing? You know, any session at Holden Village, you could do it over a movie. You know, instead of getting into what do I ask questions about this movie? What was the character in there that you were most grateful for? What character in there was you really kind of turned you off, or, you know, I mean, so you could phrase it that way, or you could say, what was the one thing that you gained from this movie that really gave you life? What was, you know, something that you noticed in it that pointed to something you were least grateful for? Could be something like that. The people in the book describe getting together every year with some friends at a camp and discussing their year. What was the most grateful thing about the year? And
there was five ladies at Holden. They all came from different places, and once a year they had gotten together years ago for something. And they still get together, but they go at different places, and they just have a great time. They talk about what they've been doing, and I thought, gee, that's a neat thing to do. And then they left here after 3 days, and they all went their separate ways. But
what are some other ideas that you have? Where could you use it?
I was just thinking, because I want to try and journal, you know. You could sit and write, like if you were writing a letter to a friend and telling your friend.
We use it in our small groups and confirmation. Our adult leaders, that's the first thing they ask the kids after our large group. It's a Rich Melheim model.
Yeah, it is. We've used
that
too.
Most important moment of the small group time.
What would happen if you did this for your worship at church? You know, if your worship committee would get together and say, what, you know, in the past month, what have you been most grateful for? What have you been least grateful for? Bosses and supervisors, teachers and students. One of the examples in the book that I really like the story was that this fourth grade teacher was having trouble with her class, so she put all the names of the kids in a hat and had kids draw the names, and they would draw a name of a kid, and this was Monday. They would be observing this other kid that they drew all week, and then on Friday they would tell that other kid what they noticed about them and what they appreciated about them. And after doing this for a number of weeks, the discipline problems were over.
I'm kind of reflecting on how this is a spirituality of light, you know, apathetic, cataphatic kind of spiritualities, and I'm thinking about how, when we're in times of suffering, and you know, darkness, there's a spirituality of emptying and finding God in the dark, as well as finding God in the energy and the life and the positive affect and those things. And I'm just wondering, what would you say about apply this the examine to those moments when we where we all have times of darkness and pain, how do we use this to find God in the dark?
There's, you know, I was getting to that where it says healing the future. When, for example, a loved one is sick with cancer or something, the question could be asked, the first question, what do you fear the most about this time? You know, and really get that out on the table so that, that it can be faced. And is there anything in this time of darkness that you're grateful for? Is also a good question to ask, because usually there is something there that God wants to say in the suffering to you or to the community that allows God's presence to be there also and to uplift and comfort and console. And I mean, we certainly have that in the love of Christ with one who went to the cross for us. And that's definitely there. The final exam there, number 10, is kind of interesting. A couple other ones. Doing the first question only would be like writing cards to people and saying, I really am grateful for you because, you know, just the first question. And the final exam would be to say, okay, I'm 53 years old right now, but all of a sudden I'm going to be, 86 when I'm right on my deathbed. And I'm going to do the examen with what I know at 53 on my deathbed at 86. And what would I be most grateful for? What would I be least grateful for? As a way of really kind of honing in on, you know, what is it that I want to be about in my life. So, they're simple questions, and we won't get to the last involved thing, but I will pass it around if people would like. This is a little more involved examen, and yet it also has, I've got only 20 copies, so if you really want it's called Awareness Examine, and it has a daily check-in with Jesus, which is the short version. The daily check-in with Jesus is really short. And if you don't get one, you want a copy, I'll hang on to this and print another one for you. This is what we didn't get to today. Just take one and pass it on. Or if you're a couple, take one. Let's see, we've got about 3 more minutes. Questions? What I'm doing at the village here, again, is doing individual spiritual direction. If you want to come up for conversation or just to find out what it is, what spiritual direction, or if you have discernment of something in your life, even a discernment of a practice of prayer. Sometimes I can listen and give some suggestions. I've really felt good about being here and doing that. I'm also giving an interesting group class up at the Agape, which is called Drawing on the Right Side of the Brain and the Ignatian Exercises. And every week, every class, we do something a little different. Tomorrow night, we're going to be doing childhood drawings. So if you want to come up tomorrow night to Agape at 5:45, eat early, and come up and see how drawing also connects to prayer. Because I will be using some of Ignatius' exercises with the drawing exercises. This examen will do you no good if you just do it tonight. It's something you take with and you decide, I'm going to make a commitment to doing this with somebody or by myself, and then I'm going to give it a month and see what happens. And you can journal with it. It just takes a second to write down what you're most grateful for, least grateful for. The bookstore has the book, I think. I think it's like $10. If you want to know a little more about spiritual direction, the book I recommend is The Art of Christian Listening by Thomas Hart. And I think it is in the bookstore. I've seen it there when I was there before, but if they don't, when you get down the hill, you might seek it out. It's a very easy book to read and talks about the process of listening and what spiritual director is. And everybody who comes up to spiritual direction, in a sentence, I say a spiritual director is the one who sits in the front seat of a car with the person who comes for spiritual direction. They're in the driver's seat. In other words, the director is not the director. The director is God. Their director is God. But they are driving and making all the decisions. They've got the map. And the person sitting in the front seat is the actual spiritual director who says, what was that like when you turned there? Or let me look at your map. Or, how are you doing there? That's the kind of relationship that I feel it is. So I don't have all the answers. You have all the answers. When you come to spiritual direction, you have all the answers with God's help. I'm there as a person, as somebody just to listen to what you're saying and kind of ask some good questions. And it's amazing what God can do with a spiritual companion like that and with the six omelets. So thanks for coming and choosing me instead of we. And you can listen to the other one if anyway. Thank you. Huh? Yeah.
Several Jesuit retreats and they used Ignatius as base.
Oh, yeah.
But I didn't want that term. That's what I was wondering. Yeah.
Well, the longer version, if you have a copy of this, is what he has in his action.
Yeah, I love that. I always come because they're in such pain.
I was wondering about the role of the second question. You talked a lot about seeing the positive and the upside and things, but why even ask the second question? What is the low point?
Because those are part of our feelings of living life. I don't know what came up for you, but for me, I lost it with one of the staffers up here. That was my least grateful, and just, I don't know why. I mean, I do it with my kids too,
yeah.
Being a parent. But what that shows me is that I think it's part of showing me my brokenness, and I think that there's a gift in showing me my brokenness, that I'm not all hold together, and that evil is alive and well, working around, and oftentimes if we just have the grateful thing, and then what are we really struggling with?
Mm-hmm. You know,
the violence in the world, addictions. Why do people get into those? If everything is grateful, no, it's there. And if I take my least grateful seriously, looking at it and getting it out on the table, then it can't do me as much harm as if I try to stuff it and hide it and get myself in trouble. And they talk about that book really does a good job of addressing that. I didn't get to talking about that, but Ignatius would say, from the beginning to the middle to the end, whatever your desire is, whatever, I really want to do this, you have to analyze, well, where did it start, what's going to happen in the middle, and what's going to happen in the end. Well, if you're desiring somebody else's wife, where is it going to end up? You look at those three, you know, maybe a great desire and you're really excited about it, but not going to end up before the glory of God. So it's, so you look at things that way. Your own anger tells you that there's some unmet needs there. Maybe you're just crabby because you need some space at times.
Kids,
those are always good too. But you don't beat yourself up over it. You just say, "Here's it. Least grateful."
Yeah.
Or I didn't give much love in that situation.
Yeah.
It helps us to find out. I mean, both lessons can be learned from either side.
Yeah.
Lessons that can be learned from the positive experiences. Lessons can also be learned from the things that we would like to do differently next time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, Ignatius put aside the chivalry stuff, and even though it gave him.
But we have to recognize our brokenness to be able to realize that we are a child of God.
Right. Right. Yeah. All kinds of brokenness, and examine. You may learn a lot more about your brokenness, which also brings you closer to Christ, because you realize how much the cost is that God paid for you, you know, in a sense.
Well, that's one of my questions.
Yeah.
Are you suggesting we always move toward the gratefulness? Yes. But not to ignore the other side, because the other side is not the other side, is this direction, really.
Yeah, right.
The danger is thinking that God can never be found in the dark.
Yeah.
I mean, because there's so many times when we talk about the cross and embracing the cross and embracing our suffering, and I think most of us kind of inherently assume that God can't be found in the dark. Mm-hmm. And that's not true.
No, not true at all.
That's not true.
I mean, when we're close to death, that's where God's going to be found. Yeah. Right there. Yeah. We really believe in that unconditional love.
Yeah.
Of where we are, meeting us. God meets us where we are. Take me as I am. Send me out what I am to be. Set a seal upon my heart and live in me. Live in me as with all my feelings, with all that stuff that's going on with me. Why I emphasize the gratefulness is that I see in the church this priesthood of all believers. Well,
see it. I wish I would see it more. I've been in the church for 16 years. I want people to say, you know, this is my gift and I'm going to do this. I want to do this. So I'd rather emphasize.
You beat people down when they try because it doesn't put into the right
category. Yeah.
We want you to fit into the time and talent sheet. We want you to fit into the time and talent sheet that we don't want your talent.
And the exam is not a time and talent sheet. It's how God speaks to each one of us individually. And we have somebody to make sense of that, to hug us, to take care of us, to listen to us, and really take us seriously. You know, it's a great gift.
Thank you.
Thanks,
yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
You need to make an appointment to the individual time.
Yeah. And it's on the board.
On the board.
But
it's our first day here. We don't have much time, so I would like to.
How long are you going to be here?
Monday morning.
Okay.
But I would like to spend some time in conversation.
Why don't you, maybe Saturday morning would work.
Saturday.
Yeah. Or tomorrow.
Okay.
If there's a time that you figure out a time,
okay.
That if it's all signed up, and then
I'll
let me know. Yeah, because
okay.
Good times for me would be like 8 a.m. maybe even
mm-hmm.
8 to 9.
Are you trained in theology?
Huh?
Are you trained in theology?
Yeah, I'm a theology major, and
yeah,
but I've been trained in spiritual direction too.
Well, it's interesting. Very. I teach psychology, so.
Psychology.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I've been frustrated in the church because what I have to offer doesn't always fit, or people aren't used to the language I use, or something. And I find myself being far more effective in my classroom than I am in the church. And
you
we've
are.
Actually moved out of a smaller community into a larger
probably
community.
Okay. You know.
Well, that's fine. I mean, it's my vocation, and it's the way I have been able to use my gifts in the best way I know how.
But you long to be in the church to use it, too.
Well, I've tried that, and I've been hurt, so...
It got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We've moved out of a small community into a larger community, which I think will help, too, but I don't want to take any more of your time. I just want to know how to...
Oh, I just want to get the grasspers, that's all.
Yes, thank you very much.
Yeah, and you are?
Hi, my name is Marilyn Dalton.
Marilyn Dalton?
Mm-hmm.
From where?
We're from Wisconsin.
I grew up in Wisconsin.
Oh, where?
Wausau.
Oh,
yeah,
God.
How about you?
Well, I grew up in Manitowoc, and now we live in La Crosse.
La Crosse?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So. You know Noreen Gothel?
Mm-hmm.
Gothel?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. This is my exam too. This is what I do.
Well, the drawing.
Drawings of people, you know.
Yeah.
People in my life, and I take pictures.
You're very good.
I take photographs.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have my students draw.
Did you?
I do. Yeah. I like the writings of the guy who wrote the book Love Meant in America. So I think it's my book titles. For the physician. I can't think of
where you see
Yeah. And he talks about using drawing a lot.